You're listening to Kelly and Steve, and this is Coupled with Chaos.
90 Day Fiancé Season 10, Episode 19, Tell All, Part 1. Who would have thought Jasmine can explain things to people?
Imagine that.
She is the voice of reason.
Lord help us.
Of understanding, right?
Unless it's about lip gloss.
Of sanity. I don't know. We'll talk about that lip gloss thing when it comes up. I'm a little bitter about that.
I agree with her about the stripper, though.
Well, let's get to her words of wisdom.
Yeah.
This was really to Ashley and Manuel.
Uh-huh.
And Manuel's financial position.
When
I got done with this...
She did a good job of explaining this to Ashley's mom.
So how does somebody not understand this in society?
Already.
Where are we as a society?
If you're that oblivious to life outside of this country.
Of what real, actual poverty is like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up poor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up 10 times better than probably Manuel's children. It's a different level.
Yeah. She said, you have to understand that food is a privilege.
I never went to bed with stomach pains. Because I was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Never went to bed crying because I was hungry.
Uh-huh.
Other than it being withheld from me because, I don't know, my parents were assholes, right?
I've been hungry as an adult with a new home that I purchased as a single person.
Yes.
I've been hungry because I put everything I made into my house, and there were times I did not have food.
But you still had, right?
You couldn't buy groceries with a credit card then.
You had, like, net worth.
Yes.
I mean, that was different, right? You needed, at that point, 30 years ago.
You had to have the money right then.
You couldn't write a check at Food Lion?
Yeah, but there was no money in the bank. I was down to a dollar.
Well, people float. I mean, at a certain point, people used to float that kind of stuff,
well,
right?
I worked at a bank, and I was a responsible person fiscally. I did dig coins out of my sofa to buy a box of tea bags.
Well,
because at that point, tea bags were more important to me than food. I lived on broccoli with ranch dressing for a week. Till I got paid.
But it's still so different. And I think that, but I do know that you understand the difference between what you had. You were buying a house and there was a big picture there.
Right, exactly.
There was hope on the horizon. What Manuel has and his family. And I think what Jasmine's saying is, look, it's different. Ashley's mom was, I don't want to feel guilty about bringing my daughter a $5.90 coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Manuel's, the point is, you have a coffee pot at home.
Right.
So
well,
I get it.
This would be my argument.
Well, and it's the truth. It's about where the money goes. And
right.
Whoever, you have the right to spend the money wherever you want.
Yes.
I think maybe Jasmine explained it in a way that made it pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
But my thought would be, I would just think that we know this, or I thought we would know this.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done a good job, even with our kids, of explaining?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we used a curriculum in our homeschool that was worldview.
Mm-hmm.
We studied tribal peoples and their religions and the way they lived. I mean, we got down to way different ways of living. They were exposed to a lot.
And I don't know the numbers.
At an early age.
But I'm going to assume, you know, I would think the middle class of America would be in the top 5% net worth of people in the world. If you really understand what that is and the difference between societies. And how things are really, really are. And what $250 does for Manuel's family.
Right.
It's a big deal. And he's done then a poor job of explaining that. He said something about he felt like he was a burden. And maybe they had made him feel a little guilty about whatever, the $250 a month.
I thought it was very nice at the end that he said his mother-in-law was a good person and a real gem. Well, and you have to love her, he said.
Once you get past all that, it seems like to me like they riled up Ashley's mom, got her all hyped up, and then pushed her out on the stage.
It seemed that way.
Like you had, I mean, it's, I don't
she want left to... in a different state of mind than she came in.
And she came in pretty hot.
Yeah, and he didn't react to her being critical of him. So I'm impressed with his self-control because he it seems like he's just a very even-keeled person. He's let a lot bother him.
What about this whole starting everything out as a lie? Did you catch a lot of this short notice he can come?
Yeah.
Or are you just giving him the benefit of the doubt?
I mean, I don't know, you know, his situation. They weren't real specific in the season about, you know, what people knew, what they didn't know, what his circumstances were. I mean, I think they showed him talk to his mom, right, at one point. And, of course, she was sad that he wasn't coming back. But, I mean, I think she knows he sacrifices everything about his life to provide for them. And I think as long as he's doing that, they're just happy if he can find happiness somewhere. You know what I mean? I don't think it was like a tragedy for his family or anything.
I think maybe we don't cut some of these foreigners some slack when it comes to leaving their families and kids to come here.
Yeah, I mean, when he came, you know, he wasn't 100% sure that they were going to get married. He even said when he first got here, he was only 80% ready himself for marriage. So I think he probably didn't tell his kids because he wasn't sure that it was going to work out when he came.
Is it a double standard of ours? Have we been a little tough on Jasmine, or were we earlier maybe before then we knew her family situation? Or were we a little more tough on Larissa than we are on Manuel?
Well, I mean, Larissa has been here forever. She's actually given up custody of her kids to other people. I mean, she's not like, you know, textbook mom material, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah,
she did abandon her kids. She may talk to them, but she's not their even their legal provider anymore.
But Manuel isn't really a other than a what kind of part of their life can he be? And look, this is common. I work in around and with a lot of people whose family are in another country and they're here. And sending money back. I mean, this is such a common thing in the DFW area.
Yes.
It's very common. I don't know if I'm more sensitive to it or immune to it. I'm not really sure. I just kind of accept it. And maybe when we were in Virginia, you know, when I wasn't around it more.
And people go back and forth. I mean, even today we went to get a Victrola from somebody. And there were two guys there, and the one guy said to the other guy, oh, yeah, we have two Victrolas in our house in Mexico, remember? So, I mean, they have two places that they live, and they go back and forth to see family and whatever. They have two residences in two different countries.
We have so many people who leave for a month. They just literally, the month of December, they're gone. And so, I don't know. I just want to make sure that we're not maybe given Manuel a break that we're not given other people.
I think he's shown more responsibility for his family members in his home country than some of the others that we've had issue with.
How about Ashley's position when it comes to all of this, where I'm not a parent, I don't know what questions to ask somebody.
Oh, come on.
But when I see this or hear this, and I hear Ashley's mom about poverty and not understanding, it just makes me kind of question where they are coming from. Like their worldview when it comes to this, you know, where are they?
a life of privilege.
I know non-parents don't necessarily know exactly what it's like to be a parent.
Right.
But I think you kind of get the feel for what it's like.
Right.
A little bit.
At least that there's some financial responsibility.
Yeah, I would imagine. How are your children getting money for food? Mm-hmm. You think this would come up?
Yeah.
You're not with them. Or are they? Do they not have really serious conversations? Is it
That's more likely.
Is it really fight, sex,
yes.
fight? I find that so hard to believe.
Well, I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah, but I almost don't think it's real. I don't know.
He said it works for them, and they like it.
Maybe they must. Maybe their time frame is different than ours. Like, maybe it's hours of this. I don't know. Her coming in with the sage everywhere. I just want to tell everybody how commercial buildings work. The smoke detectors aren't like in your house, right? There are some there, but most of them are in the HVAC units. And so they don't smell smoke. They see smoke. And they don't know the difference between sage smoke and fire smoke. It's all smoke. So it's just how that works. So I would just go, you lighten your sage and having it smoldering and blowing apart all through this commercial building would trouble me. Maybe there's no return near there. But I'd be saying, hey, let's stop all of this. But their whole sex to resolve things.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
I guess
it's not a resolution, it's a Band-Aid. But I guess they like it, so they keep doing it.
I could see it maybe working if you were in a relationship and you didn't live together. And you only spent...
Like, make up and go home?
Yeah, it would be like you only spent 2 hours together at each time you were together. Mm-hmm. So instead of fighting, you were doing that. And then everybody would go their own separate ways. And then you would come back together again. But there are, I don't know, let's just call it 23 other hours in the day or 20. I don't know how many hours you can spend doing that. But there's got to be a time where this comes up. Hey, we got to talk about this. And it doesn't seem like they have. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, when that's all we ever saw of their relationship, I was real concerned about how this was going to work. Mm-hmm. But towards the end of the season, we saw a lot of maturity happening in their relationship. So I'm not sure that that's still all there is to their relationship, because it didn't seem like it was still based on that later, closer to their wedding.
We always wonder when the tell-all starts, who's going to be the one. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the one in everybody's business? Mm-hmm. It does appear to be Ashley. Ashley appears to be...
having an opinion about everyone.
Yeah, the one who has an opinion on everything and everybody.
Well, it started with the tarot cards. She pretty much let you know right up front it was going
to
be her.
Well, that's a bit, right? They told her to bring them. Mm-hmm. You know that's a thing. So that's... I get it. We have bits, and they've got to have those things. But she's definitely the one. She went right after Clayton. Mm-hmm, and
about the closet.
Yeah. Did we brush that aside too easily?
I didn't. I said we should call Adult Protective Services and see what they have to say about the closet.
Yeah. Clayton's point was she put herself in a situation and was scrambling. We don't think, I don't know, I didn't think Clayton was doing so badly financially, but then we saw his car and he had a bungee cord, like holding the hood down. Mm. And it's not, I mean, a hood latch isn't that complicated of a repair when it comes to repairs.
Well, but then again, it may not be a matter of money. It may be, I mean, look at his house. Maybe he just... doesn't care about things.
Like, I've got the bungee cord on it. It's good enough.
It works. Right.
It would be typical of, I don't know, of our kids to go, uh-huh. Yeah, I've got to fix that, but.
Not today.
Right. Maybe the frame's broken in some way, and then it's not necessarily just a hood latch. If it doesn't line up, right? If you put the hood down and it doesn't line up with the latch, that's a bigger problem. And so maybe he's just not taking care of it.
I think he's a bigger problem.
What we learned new about them this time is that they have moved to Oklahoma and to Tulsa.
Yes.
So
the one piece of advice I have for Annalie is do not stop at a QT at night.
Night.
Otherwise, you're probably going to show up on an episode of the First 48.
You could be there. It'd be nice if you weren't in a chalk outline.
Yeah.
But you could, I think you could just hang out there.
I think you could get shot by a stray bullet.
So to be honest, if you don't watch, that would seem probably discriminatory or maybe prejudice against Tulsa, Oklahoma.
But the same would be true of Dallas.
But if you watch A&E's First 48, you'll see.
It's either Tulsa or Dallas.
It's just where they film it. Mm-hmm. But all of them seem to take place.
At a QT.
At a QT. And if you're not around this area, maybe you don't know what a QT is.
It's a 7-Eleven, basically, if you're an East Coast person.
What was that other place? It was
a Wawa,
like in the Virginia, Maryland area, but with more gas pumps.
Yeah.
So there's like 40 gas pumps.
And no grill.
And, you know, there's they make pizza and subs and. It's relatively clean inside, but there's chalk outlines of bodies on the outside.
Yeah.
It's open all night. And in Tulsa, this is where they film First 48.
And if you're in Fort Worth at a QT, there's probably some homeless people outside that are going to accost you.
What's the premise behind the show First 48, for those of you who haven't seen it?
Murder, and then how they try to get clues to solve the murder within the first 48 hours.
Because
if you don't, it's less likely to be solved.
Mm-hmm. So, and they're all, we're watching it. And for, just so you know, this is what Kelly watches as she's going to sleep.
Every night.
So, first 48.
This is my bedtime fodder.
There's a neat part of that is after
the first 48. Also very cool.
It would be like life after lockup. It's after the first 48.
So. Yes. For the ones that don't get resolved within 48 hours, they go back sometimes even years or even a decade later and follow up when it gets resolved later down the road.
Clayton had a snarky comment about Jasmine and the $2,000 from Dane and the spending that money on anger management.
Yeah.
How did you receive? One, I laughed. Woo! Just as a general guy who likes jokes, I believed that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She did not believe that
Putting
was funny.
Putting that aside, and it coming from Clayton, where are we on just that statement and him?
Well, first of all, he shouldn't be correcting anybody about anything, because he's definitely no authority.
Yeah, it was
no
probably
poster
there.
Child for good behavior or anything.
And that's kind of what I'm hinting about, is that coming from him.
But boy, did Jasmine let him have it.
Yeah.
Shut the F up.
Yeah, all of that. It seems like for Gino and Jasmine, it seems like their eighth tell-all.
It seems like it does.
And we're going to have another.
Wow.
Because they're in the new HEA.
Ugh.
So it's more of them.
How can they still be together after this event?
Well, we talk
of the stripper and the bachelor party.
We talk about
bachelor
them
party
on Roundup, and there are rumblings of them not being together.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have heard is that it was still after this point. Mm-hmm. This seems pretty rough. I'm going to take this first little nugget and kind of set it aside, because I think for us, Gino and Jasmine are suspect as a couple anyway.
Yeah.
So we believe, I believe, I don't know about you. I don't want to speak for you. I don't want to be like Rob and speak for Kelly.
Answer for me.
Right. Let me speak for Kelly. This is just going to be the Steve podcast. And you just say right occasionally, all right? Will that work for you?
No.
No, will not. So, the lip gloss thing, I believe that it has been determined that Jasmine
it was hers.
carried this. It was, there's shots on other screens of her carrying this lip gloss into the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Before,
so this was a completely manufactured story.
It was found.
And her reaction did seem fake.
And I think it's almost been established enough that I'm shocked
that it got brought up again.
That it's part of the tell-all.
Yeah, I agree.
This should have disappeared. Mm-hmm. This should not have been an issue. It lets me know that the those of us, let's just, I'm going to go kind of quote marks, in the know, mm-hmm. are such a minority that they don't care. Mm. And it may be. I don't know the numbers that I use, but I'm thinking those of us, and let's just call it us, those of us who listen to podcasts about 90 Day or make them, maybe we're in the, I don't know, let's call it the 20,000 people range between all the shows. Maybe I'm not making that number big enough, but if there's a million people watching and there's 20,000, it's not a big enough number. And so it was a good enough story that they needed to make it.
Well, because I don't think there's going to be that much to this tell-all, because there wasn't that much to this season. And so I figured there would be some manufactured drama or filler people with commentary or something to fluff this up.
So how much of this stripper thing is blown up versus real?
Well, I mean, that was real video, and I think she is PO'd about it, and I would be too. They did show extended footage that wasn't shown in the season, and it was pretty bad.
I think for me,
I had the same question that he posed for somebody else. I think it was Rob, and that is, was this the last time, or have you engaged in this behavior again? Since then.
For me, I think this whole misnomer about this is your last night of freedom, uh-huh. I think this is the
problem.
The bad part of all of this.
Right.
And I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it just doesn't sit right with me.
Right. Well, I said to you, it's not your last night of freedom. You're not free because you're already committed to someone. Once you've met someone that you've decided is going to be your spouse, all that other stuff is already ended. It's already over.
At least in our opinion, you owe them some respect.
Yes, and commitment. If you're going to marry someone, you're off limits to everyone else, and that includes putting your hands on people and looking at naked boobs and stuff.
It's this. There was a lot of contact here.
Yes,
that seemed a bit, I don't know, maybe not what I thought strip clubs were like. I thought there were rules against contact.
I think unless you get like a private lap dance, usually that's like in a room.
I think states have rules against that.
They probably do, but.
And so to have that on camera, they didn't. Yeah. I noticed they didn't put what club they were at out on the front. It was the Bada Bing? Isn't this the Sopranos place is what it was?
Yeah.
Right, the Bada Bing. Even in that, I don't think even in Sopranos, I don't even think they had the strip club doing inappropriate things. I don't remember inappropriate things happening at the strip club other than murder, right, and grinding up bodies. But I don't think that was actually at the Bada Bing. I don't know they killed people. That was legitimate business, Kelly. Right? Tony Soprano is a legitimate businessman.
You're killing me.
Right? He's in the waste management business.
No.
I don't like what you're insinuating. Uh-huh. So, they had this little scene about his hat, and I felt, here it is, I felt bad about Gino and his insecurity about his hair. Mm-hmm. For the first time ever. We all have insecurities about things, whatever mm-hmm. they are. And this is Gino's. And mm-hmm. we can say it's kind of silly and you should just shave it and it'd be fine.
Yeah, like me and my big butt.
We just wear, look, what is it? What were those sweaters that people wore in like the 80s? Didn't you wear big sweaters that covered everything? Or was that the 90s?
Oh, I still do that. If I have leggings on, I don't want you seeing my tight fabric on my butt. So it was a rule I had for my daughter also growing up. If you wear leggings, you have to wear some kind of tunic top or something that comes down and covers your butt, because it's inappropriate to wear tight clothes on your butt for people to look at. Well,
This is you.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I still wear long sweaters that cover my butt. Nobody needs to be looking at my butt. I'm married.
So this wasn't the 80s. This is yesterday.
This is, yes. Last time it was cold. Leggings are comfortable, but don't look at my butt.
And
you see what happens. I had Now pants on.
Let's just, yeah.
I mean, and this is what happens. Don't look at my butt.
What was it? It was you were at the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, and it was a woman.
I said, girl, you are looking fine, fine.
Girl, you looking fine, fine. That's what she said. I'm like, man.
So we've called it now. And then it was probably like a week later.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody, I don't say propositioned you. It's not really the right word, but they approached you about any interest that you possibly had in them or them in you.
Uh-huh.
They were inquiring about your availability.
Yes. In another Walmart.
Yes.
In another city.
Mm-hmm.
While wearing a dress. There was a long dress.
But in general, so for us, I've kind of had this discussion with people recently about, hey now.
Uh-huh.
And so it's an old Larry Sanders Show thing, kind of been adopted by Howard Stern. But for us, hey now means its own thing. Somebody approaches you in the parking lot talking about your pants.
Yeah.
It's hey now.
Hey now.
Hey
so
now.
So you call them now every time I wear them. Oh, you're wearing your hey now pants.
Your hey now pants. Hey now.
And I feel embarrassed every time.
Hey now.
I'm like, why are people? I guess there are people who like big butts. I definitely qualify for that.
Gino is of that variety, right? Gino
said he wanted your butt bigger.
But he didn't say he wanted it bigger. He just said he likes them. And so this is where he can feed or not feed into Jasmine's.
Yes.
Her own insecurities.
Yes.
And he has an opportunity here to not feed into it.
Uh-huh.
This looks just fine.
Uh-huh. He said he'd like it bigger. He said that.
I don't get it. It's about not understanding what to say and when to say it.
Right.
Should Gino not say what he feels? Is this what we're saying?
No, but I think he has to be sensitive to the fact that she has some deep insecurity that leads her to have all these plastic surgeries.
If we're all just sitting around being honest with each other, we're all going to live alone.
Well, I'm honest when I say that my big butt is El Natural.
There is no implant.
Jasmine, pass the ice cream.
That's what Jasmine said about Sophie, and I think you felt like it was an insult to Sophie?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, but I would be insulted if somebody said, oh, I wish I had a big butt like yours that's natural. Well, thanks.
So those who have, right, don't want it, and those who don't have then want it.
That's usually the case, as with most things. Do not covet thy neighbor's insert the blank.
Well, look, Jasmine, of all things, Jasmine says that what she regrets most about all of it is not getting it larger, not the circumstances into how it happened and how the money happened.
Uh-huh.
The fact that she said her wedding dress is in the basement gathering dust is a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens to wedding dresses.
Right. And if you think you need to pull it out to renew your vows in order to make good use of it, then just know that you're going to be paying for a divorce.
Because that's the next step.
Right.
Especially this early.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I thought that...
See housewives.
Well, this whole dang thing and these ugly words...
Yeah, I don't like the way they say ugly, hateful things.
Both, I think we probably are a little rougher on Jasmine for the mean things she says.
Well, he says them too, and yes, it doesn't make it better that it's a comeback. It's like he was trying to justify it.
We talked all season about him not being the one with the ability to defuse these situations. Mm-hmm. And he sees them coming. But she goes left.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, quickly.
Intensely. And hard.
And they both do. And then they both say mean things to
hurtful.
Each other.
Intentionally hurtful.
And you see they're not recoverable.
Mm-hmm.
Period. They've both done this.
Yeah.
I think the biggest, and maybe this strip club scene, maybe the more eye-opening thing that we found out is that his ex worked at a strip club.
Was a stripper. Wow.
Well, we don't know what she did. She did work at a club.
So that's probably how he met her.
Yeah, this is where I'm headed with that.
Mm-hmm.
So he is, and it doesn't really surprise us
that he's comfortable in that environment.
We had kind of pegged him as like an internet cam girl type of guy.
Right. Maybe he paid for some services along the way.
Yes. I don't know that that's too far out of the realm of possibility with him. And so when we find this out, everyone seemed to gasp, maybe even more than I did. You know, it was Rob who was the one that went, well, you know, that's kind of a thing. It's probably a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Odd. Funny how Gino's just throwing money away here.
Yeah.
But he's really tight. I didn't look to see if they were ones or they were probably just ones. But as tight as he was with wedding rings and such.
And bathroom fixtures.
He does have the old
bedding.
Yeah, all of that. Like, ooh. Yeah, I just thought about that. And I don't know, a toilet scrub brush and this kind of stuff. So this is kind of where I think they broke and started to ask questions. And I thought the questions that they asked from viewers
were horrible.
Yeah. Just horrible.
And we said, well, this is new. This is what Andy Cohen does on the Housewives reunions.
Mm.
But they're much better. More pointed questions that are significant.
Because I think real questions could have been asked.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Don't you want to know from Gino, what kind are you still in contact with your exes? Mm-hmm. How often are you in contact with your exes, right? It's a very direct question.
I'm sure he's not allowed to be.
Well, and would there really be a reason to? It's not like, you know, they have kids together
or something, right?
Anything. But if Jasmine can have contact with Dane, and this is innocent in her eyes...
Well, she already agreed not to. Remember, she left him that message.
Yeah.
I can't be in touch with you anymore.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's different.
At his behest.
I don't even know what that means. Behest. What is this? Who are you? You know what kind of podcast this is?
Adult one?
Nikki and Igor, they were on for a bit. Look, I'm going to go on the top and say... I think Nikki's appearance on the show is merely for
promoting Nikki's music.
Exotica and whatever. I don't think this relationship is real.
Yeah, we said that from the beginning.
I don't think it ever was. And I think Igor thinks he's funny in some way. And I think everybody in the room just kind of is waiting for him to be quiet. And look, Nikki says he has no brain cells.
That was so rude.
It was.
Very mean.
And she still calls him Justin. So
yeah.
There's that. So I think that's all I've probably got on Nikki and Igor. Just because I think we all see what it is. I'm assuming that maybe Devin and Nick didn't have enough content And so they knew that they were going to have to do this, or they didn't have another couple and somebody got dropped out, so they brought them in.
Honestly, I'm surprised they're even on the reunion, because their appearance on the show was so short-lived that I forgot about them.
Oh, and you're talking about Devin and Nick?
Yes.
So this is probably the elephant in the room.
Because I think they only brought him back to talk about him saying piggy, just to have something controversial to talk about.
Yeah, but her weight loss is still something that is there.
It's very noticeable. She looks good, though.
But the elephant in the room is, does what he call you, did it impact that?
Mm-hmm.
This is a potential large issue.
Yeah.
And that he still calls her that after him being made aware that it's a thing.
Unless it's something they've agreed is just a joke between them. And then it's none of anybody's business.
But at some point, what if Devin just agrees to this not to upset him and not to make him feel bad?
That could be the case, but then she'd have some fault in not letting him know that it bothered her.
Mm. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It seems, I watched her leg bouncing.
Yeah.
She looked very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. She looked very nervous. But then I think I saw her lighten up. Like, I think they whatever it was, they talked about, I forget, I think it was a comment to one of the questions. And I think it was Ashley's, whatever she was doing for her, whatever, sex sage stuff. And, you know, they asked if anybody would do that. And you saw Devin just kind of speak up and say, definitely not. And so maybe she begins to loosen up over time, but
well, we know she had anxiety on the show, and that was kind of why they cut them early.
Well, we don't know that that's why, but I would hope it would be why. I would hope that they would go, we're gonna probably cut this a little bit because, you know, she does have some anxiety. I noticed right away Rob answering for Sophie at the beginning.
Yeah, that was troubling.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to control the narrative.
I found more of a problem with Claire, Sophie's mom, this time than the others. She has crossed the line.
Yeah, they're married now. She needs to respect that. Their choices. She shouldn't have to agree.
Does she need to come out and blow a trumpet and support them?
No.
No. What can she do? What would you suggest that she does in this scenario?
Well, I mean, when your kids are adults and they make life and relationship choices, you know, unless they're being beaten or something, you have to respect their choices because it's their life to live, not yours. You don't have to live with the person they chose. They do.
Mm.
So I think as long as you're supportive and there for your child, who's now an adult, and keep open lines of communication so they feel comfortable talking to you if things aren't going well, I think that's the most important thing.
Mm. It seems like, and I can only imagine, when Claire calls Sophie, the first thing out of her mouth to me is, what has Rob been doing? That she gets grilled, that Sophie gets grilled about Rob's actions.
Right.
Instead of, how are you doing? What's Rob up to?
Uh-huh.
And Sophie may not be at a point. Look, she is. She's probably 24 now in this filming.
Uh-huh.
But she's still only 23.
Uh-huh.
And so probably easier to be manipulated than others. You know, it's not been that long. I think Sophie and Claire have been through a lot together.
Yeah, and she's an only child, right? So
I don't know that. I don't remember. It's possible. May also explain things
that
a little bit.
That would weigh a lot into the closeness of their relationship, too, and the way that her mom's trying to hold on.
Yeah, I just found it wrong. How great it would be if all of our children could be treated as kings and princes and princesses. But then, guess what? Guess there aren't many princesses.
You treat me like a princess.
I understand.
Like a queen.
That's different, right? We've been at this a while.
Yeah.
I have now found the things, the maybe 6 or 7 things that I can do that make you feel like a princess.
Yes.
Right? That's it. Now, there are 20 other things I do that make you upset with me. But as long as I can do those six or seven things,
then you get some brownie points.
We're probably okay. But Claire is 100% wrong here.
Yeah.
And I think we probably talked about it in our personal podcast or Scoop or whatever. But
and her opinions about him are probably pretty close to true.
Yes.
But again, they're already married. So, I mean, you know, we're not proponents of divorce. So if that's the life choice you made, then you got to help her make the best of it.
Right. Something can be two things. Right?
Right.
Sophie is in the middle of all this. Mm-hmm. Claire can be right that Rob's a knob.
Yeah, which I agree he is.
Rob can be right that Claire is meddling.
And that she needs to respect him.
Doesn't make Rob not a knob.
Right.
Because Rob is a knob.
He is. And I use that term to keep from being beeped.
Right.
By calling him something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew the Austin thing we've been talking about on Scoop for, I don't know, seems like forever. It was a little awkward when they asked him about whether or not he'd been doing his internet stuff anymore.
Uh-huh.
And whether or not it was cheating or not cheating. This whole him, I'm trying to be perfect scene they played again.
Yeah.
We talked about that as the standard. If the standard is I'm doing my best versus don't mess around with other people,
mm-hmm.
We got a little more details about what this was.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, this was kind of a line.
I said, no way I would marry someone after they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you still choose that person? And he tried to justify it. That it was okay because he wasn't actually trying to like meet up with him or
right.
something. So
this is when he interrupted, you know, cause Sophie I think somebody justified it. And Sophie said, you know, it's not like, or she said, you know, what would be appropriate. And you know, I'd like to F you or something like that,
uh-huh.
I think. And Rob jumped in and said, hey, don't mischaracterize this. I didn't say that. And that's kind of started to Rob down the answering for her point. But it sounded like she just drove right through it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let Rob answer for me. I'm going to say my words.
Mm-hmm.
The issue here is they moved to Austin. Austin isn't a cheap place to live, by the way.
No.
I mean, it's probably, I'm going to guess it's a top 20 expensive cities. And it's exploding as far as population goes.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm choosing cheaper places to live, this isn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's also flipping hot down there.
Mm-hmm.
So this would suck in its own right.
Right.
I'm assuming they probably had some line on something. Somebody they know, a job.
Yeah, something.
I think Rob wasn't into a career, so he could really work anywhere, mm-hmm. right? Claire's issue was that this is not the right man for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the money. It's not the job. It's the way he speaks to her.
Yep, I would agree with that.
And this is what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Something can be two things.
Right.
We don't think she's wrong.
Right, but it's the choice that Sophie made.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to help her figure out how to make it better.
You know, Rob is, woe is me, pitiful
me. Yeah,
I can't
stand his whining all the time. He's such a victim.
And both of them, you said it while watching it. Right in the middle of it, I didn't hear part of the episode because you went off on some kind of, I think it's almost your normal rant mm-hmm. when it comes to them. It shouldn't be
right.
this hard.
Right. I said, could you imagine these two in 30 years? When they've lived actual real problems and how much worse it'll be then, if this is how they are when they're newlyweds, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. You just have things happen, right? A parent pass away. Your dog, you have to put your dog to sleep. You only have one arm because you're in surgery.
Yeah. You can't do anything for yourself and your spouse has to do everything.
All at the same time. And there's bigger things than that. I mean, we just listed the, you know, things.
Most recent things.
Right. And so this stuff happens. And so they don't have problems that shouldn't be insurmountable.
Right.
His need to be appreciated is something that I think we see over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It was the, you should appreciate what I do. I have to do everything because you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, they all know that this is how it's supposed to be.
Right. It's not a choice. It's not like she's taking a vacation.
Well, you know, this, and I'm not trying to talk about Angela and Michael here, but this is the difference between Michael came on a spousal visa and right. could have began working immediately, right? Or no, he still needs a green card?
He still needs a green card.
So to make that happen.
But they just needed to apply for it mm-hmm. to say, okay, he's here now. It comes much faster than the 90-day process, the K-1.
And Jasmine spoke up here again about how this is being held over the foreigner's head
yes.
frequently about I'm doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we do know in real relationships is this goes in cycles.
Yes.
Sometimes those cycles can last a while.
Yep. But you take turns. And I think it's meant to be that way because somebody always needs to be the strong one. And it shouldn't always be the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you're going through the same hard time together, but one of you still has to be strong to get the other one through it. You can't both be torn up and down and not able to function. Somebody has to carry the other one through.
At some point. And you'd hope that it would switch.
Yes, that's what I mean. It can't be always the same person. You gotta give and take.
And we haven't said it in a while, but there isn't like a scoreboard on the wall.
No.
Like I'm up 6-4. You gotta cover this. It's your turn. It can't be that.
No.
Or it can, but we don't believe it's a successful way to do things. Scorekeeping probably doesn't work.
No.
We only know that because we're not keeping score. Or you're not keeping score. I might be. How about that?
Well, I'm behind then because...
We're not talking about you're behind. We've decided that we weren't going to do that.
I've had a lot of surgery in the past 4 years.
Judge, I'm going to hit you with a big one. I'm going big is what I'm doing.
Oh.
Right. In all of your issues, I've still never had to take care of you down there.
That's true.
So what I'm going to do, whatever I do, it's going to be something involving down there.
And there's no change in diapers or anything.
What? Yeah, I'm not having to do
stage.
That. I think that I may be going there. It's like one. I'm going to do one to make up for your three. So that'll be it. I think Rob is looking for, and you know, I've said this to people who want like promotions or stuff and work that we're doing. I said, you know what? You had a good week, right? Good job. You had a great week. But it's going to take more than a week to change maybe Claire's mind.
Mm-hmm.
It may take more than a month, and it may take more than a year. But you got to work every day of every week of every month of every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you may not get the results you want from Claire immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you're always there, steady. I mean, we've said the same thing in our personal podcast about the kids.
Yeah.
Look, they go through seasons too.
Yeah.
And from the age maybe of 14 to 18, they don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
But at some point, the hope is that you're there, you're consistent, and when they see the light, then they'll go, you know what? They were there for me.
Right.
They were trying to keep me from getting in trouble.
Right.
And to get me through this time. And so I think Rob could use a little of that. And maybe he hasn't experienced it from people above him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he hasn't had people he can depend on.
And he kind of said that.
Mm-hmm.
But so, I think he's just resentful in general. Maybe because of that.
Or could it be that Rob and Claire are never going to get along?
Yeah, I don't think so. I just don't think they're compatible.
No common ground gets them to the end?
No.
You think, so if they spent like a week together alone, like in some kind of, I don't know, get along camp, that somebody's ending up drowned in a river.
Yeah, pretty much.
He just wants, like, to be great, people to be grateful. And I'm like, there's no time to be grateful.
I picture these two showing up in Last Resort.
Right. Like, this would be a parent-child thing, or parent, an in-law, son-in-law, mother-in-law, Last Resort type of thing. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to work it out. You know what they need is Jasmine there, because it looks like she can work out stuff with anybody. Jasmine,
just not for herself.
Jasmine would be the one person. She is like the counselor. So, but look, Sophie kind of said it herself. Look, there are some basic things that I right. should be able to have.
Right. Like a place to live.
Right, because I can't do it for myself.
Right.
He had time. We, even though Rob is what? Rob is, I show him at 32. He's probably, by the time 32 when this was filmed, he's probably, this is so long ago, he's probably 39 by now. He had time.
Yeah.
He is like any, I don't know, 16 to 22, 23-year-old. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, Rob, you should get a different place. Yeah, I know. maybe instead of three small jobs or whatever you have, maybe you could look into starting a career.
Yeah, I was something. Making wisecracks the whole time. He was talking about, that's not true. I worked. And I was mumbling to you, yay, he was an Uber Eats driver.
We're not against that.
He was, no, but as a career, as a provider, it's not enough.
Sure.
He's doing Instacart. You get like one delivery a week, you know?
Right. I mean, some people have, at some point, to get by, you've got to pull stuff like that.
Right. But usually you'll that's the kind of thing people do after work. For extra money, because it's not enough to live on.
No, you can't. You can't make enough to keep your car moving. Mm-hmm. It's just not enough. That Rob needed to do something, right? Yeah, I know. I need to do something, but woe is me. Everything's so hard. We didn't get a lot into the other couples. I guess the big news was, right, Citra pregnant?
Yeah, I called it.
We had heard rumblings of this, but there was nothing firm, talking about inside scoop, right? Mm-hmm. We hear stuff all along, but we didn't get a lot of firm stuff about this.
Well, as soon as they said they had news to share, I said, she's pregnant. I could tell with the camera angles they were trying to hide, but you could see that her shirt came out right under her boobs, and they were trying to hide it by showing just her chest and up.
We'll save talking about this because it's going to come up in the rest of the tell-all, but maybe not the best
decision
plan for
this
these
early.
Two.
Yeah,
it's probably not the wisest move. I'm assuming it wasn't planned. Because it would probably not be the best plan. Mm-hmm. So
because his legal stuff isn't even resolved yet.
At this point, when they filmed it, he still hadn't had resolution on what he was going to do or what he was going to have to do or get to do as a part of his sentencing. So we are going to, I guess, we'll break there. What are you going to hear from us next? Should hear from Nick. We do Little People, Big World. It's more family-based. We do Inside Scoop. We hear rumblings that accused, guilty, or innocent is coming up in March.
Any other new shows coming up?
Yeah, Seeking Sister Wives should be rolling out soon. So we'll be covering that as its own separate show.
I'm excited that Accused, Guilty, or Innocent is coming again.
Yeah, there's some shows that we cover that I think maybe don't fall into the realm of reality TV stuff. And so we enjoy that.
Real.
Yeah, we enjoy Accused, Guilty, or Innocent. So we've covered that last season. It's a Patreon-only thing.
Crime stuff is my favorite.
Yeah, because you go to bed the first 48.
So I like watching court TV.
I dream of people drawing chalk around me. That's what I dream of. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us. Plenty of episodes on our Patreon, Supercast, and Apple channel. Now that Apple has decided to restore my Apple ID, they got together and decided they would grant me that, even though they randomly just canceled it.
And nobody knows why.
Yeah. They just said, we've agreed to restore it. I said, oh, thank you. I didn't ask why they took it away, but it caused me a few nights of angst. So, have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening.
You can listen to additional episodes
by subscribing to our Coupled with Chaos channel on Apple,
by subscribing to our Patreon,
or by subscribing to our Supercast
for $3.99 a month,
where you can hear us talk about reality shows,
real life, and more on our podcasts,
covering shows airing on TLC, A&E, Bravo, and the WE Network.
Just follow the instructions in the show notes.
Tell your friends about this podcast.
And rate and review us on your favorite podcast player.
Follow us at Coupled with Chaos on all the socials.
Or contact us directly by email at coupledwithchaos@gmail.com.